Welcome to the story of Millie Salmon and the Infinite Shop. This is Chapter 10, The Reveal Scene. Reggie has homework, and he has Millie to help. I'm the author, Ray Dubicki, and I'm happy to read the story to you. Let's exercise this text messaging app. You can join Millie Salmon on Patreon or find out more at milliesalmon.com, and you can follow this podcast and other stories on social media at Infinite Shop Limited. Chapter 10, The Reveal Scene. Reggie laid on the dining room floor reading his tablet, waiting for the microwave to beep. His parents were taking yet another evening out. Between his brother Michelle's recent move to Manhattan and Reggie's recent 13th birthday, Mort and Chantrelle Taraskel found themselves a lot of new ways to spend their evenings. Reggie didn't mind. He was still grounded from a suspiciously and surprisingly low grade, extending his already pretty curtailed lifestyle after events at the pond. Spending the night grounded in the apartment with his folks often meant listening to old Mort's continuing dialogue about military school. And Reggie just didn't need that, particularly when his father wasn't recognizing how his newly spick-and-span record, thanks to Millie's parents, had empowered Reggie to be an all-around better citizen, or at least more clandestine. The microwave finished, and Reggie opened the door. He poked at the spilled cheese coming out of the pastry's corner. Recent experience told him to cut the thing open and nuke it for another minute, then let it sit before eating it with a fork. Nothing quite like biting a scorching hot wave of cheese, then a nauseatingly frozen center to teach that lesson. Twice. Reggie prided himself on being a quick study. He sat the next minute, leaned on the counter, and flipped pages in the e-reader. A message from Millie popped up. I can't make this work. Project or life? Both. What's the problem with life? They had settled on the word life for discussing the stuff that Millie was absolutely not doing and was positively not happening at her family's bookstore. There was a lot that he put together to suspect something was going on with Millie. He knew there was a switch flipped the evening she didn't leave the store. Something different about how she was talking about her family and how much she was pressing to get back into the bookstore, and how much less talking she was doing overall. But it was Pat's that pointed out something very important. She didn't call it a store anymore, or Grandpa's. She had started calling it the shop, like it had some separate existence from all the other things in the world. Specifically, she was going to the shop. There was something about the shop, not Grandpa, not the bookstore, the shop. Dad won't let me go on living my life the way I want. Wasn't life pretty good the other day? That's why I thought things were doing better, but no. Even though their experience together at the events of the pond, Millie didn't say a word about the actual things that were happening at the shop. He thought it was odd, the stuff she was assembling, talking about printer parts and the cables and the phones, but she said all that was at home and explained it as a remote sprayer. It wasn't until he had 4 hours alone in a military decontamination pod that the weirdness really set in. Any reason? Is life still unsafe? No, now I'm unready. While sitting alone for such a period of time, wondering if his newly blue skin and body would fade or if he was stuck being completely berry-fied for life, Reggie had played the events of the evening over and over in his mind. There was something with her phone, something about some other phones, and more about some book that Millie was reading. Reggie had made a logical leap. All the weird stuff with Millie had started that evening at the shop. He would start his investigation there. Sucks, can't help you. What's the problem with the project? None of the pictures are coming out. Show me. Nothing to show. Do it anyway. Millie sent him a picture of a large white page, evenly divided into six blocks and glaring in its incompleteness. This is supposed to be... Page 4, the reveal scene. Reggie laid back down on the kitchen floor. It was the largest room in the apartment, and with the table pushed back against the wall, it got even bigger. They didn't need that fourth chair now anyway. Arguably, they didn't need the three others either. He put his tablet on his chest and tried to look through the ceiling, concentrating on what they could do. The reveal scene, they were calling it. Their comic book for Mr. Flan's art class was supposed to have a great reveal scene where the two kids, a boy and a girl, find that the movie theater ticket booth is a transstellar portal. A couple days after the cooked goose incident at the pond, Reggie had gone back in the shop. First, it was time to pick up one of his new comics. Second, he had a working idea. If phones were important and the shop was important, he'd browse the shop with headphones to see if he could hear something weird on the phone. That's not a very good idea, Pat had said. Then come up with a better one. There is no better one. Then come with me. So Reggie and Pats went into the shop. Grandpa was not there, to some relief. They said hi to Firth, the teenager that was working behind the counter, and headed back to the comics. Both popped in headphones and started browsing. Reggie had no guess what he was actually going to do once in the shop, so he started skipping through songs and podcasts and streaming radio, things he knew, listening for something weird. Some whistle and pop, some homing beacon, some who knows. They kept flipping through comics, flipping through things on their phones, and listening for something. Box after box, song after song. That afternoon moved to evening until Pat's, crackled to attention, looked at his phone. "What is it?" Reggie whispered. Pat's ripped the jack from Reggie's phone and plugged it into his own. Reggie listened hard and heard two people, a man and a woman, talking about what time they were going to dinner, whether the restaurant had plantains, and how much they enjoyed ice cream. Reggie shrugged a, "What is this?" Pats tapped the screen to say, "Look." It was an assignment from the Spanish camp they had taken in the summer. "Your phone is translating." "I don't think it's the phone." The two boys looked up and saw the shop with new eyes. Something about the translation, knowing that the translation was happening, lifted the blinders and the fog. They saw the door open, and the view outside was not Barber Street and their neighborhood. It was steel scaffolds. And they saw the customer come in, and a wave of changes write themselves on the pages of the books across the shelves. And they saw the differences between the customers, the stark and inhuman differences, gangling, dripping slime, tusks from a maw of jagged teeth, a sensible pair of fuzzy boots. Both boys gasped, but were not fully startled until a set of hands pulled their earphones off and a voice came up to replace them. "You're perfectly safe. This shop exists on many worlds at the same time. That door is a mechanism for moving through space. You are perfectly safe. They turned. It was Firth. On the kitchen floor, Reggie blinked into the photo of the blank page that was staring at him. Those squares were too small for such an important scene. It needed two beats, then a big epic spectacle. That would feel like an important reveal, something worthy of knowing you're moving through space. He messaged back to Millie. Leave the top two squares, then combine the bottom four. What do you mean? Wait. Reggie pulled out a pad of paper and drew six boxes, roughly how Millie had laid out the page. He put a big black squiggle through the walls dividing the lower four boxes and flipped the page. He redrew the top two squares, one filled almost entirely with a circle, two eyes, a nose, and a wide open mouth. He labeled it boy. Then the same picture in the other labeled girl. Below them, where the crossed out boxes had been, he drew a long rectangle that was supposed to be the superdimensional box office. Two completely shocked figures and wiggly lines symbolizing shock, surprise, and possibly fire. There was a lot of squiggles. He snapped two pictures and sent them along. Oh, that works. You want to draw it? I just did. It won't get any better than that. Fine, stand by. Reggie stood up and pulled his pocket pizza out of the microwave. He poked the open side with a finger and declared it reasonable. That went on a plate on the floor next to the tablet, as did a Mega Pop caffeine boost from Michelle's dwindling stash in the bathroom drop ceiling. And he ate dinner on the floor, reading his book. His last bite and a photo from Millie appeared. It was faint, sketchy, but it was absolutely correct to what he intended. The shocked expressions on the kids' faces on the top two panels, the explosive reveal in the bottom two-thirds of the page. That's fantastic. Now go take care of the other thing. How does this solve my dad problem? Think about it, blockhead. There was a long pause. If it was someone else on the other side of the conversation, he'd have to spell it out. Knock down the walls, erase the boxes, change the rules. He'd have to yell that into the phone or write it in marker on their heads. Not with Millie. They'd said it to each other so often that, you suck, you're right, but you suck, and don't call me a blockhead. You're welcome, blockhead. Reggie closed his eyes. You are perfectly safe, Firth had said, and 1,000 questions flooded his head. The how and the why started as the loudest, but they were quickly replaced with a where and another how and then a few what? But Firth hadn't let them ask. You are receiving this knowledge for one reason and one reason only. Millie is falling apart. Now you know why. Be her true friends and keep her together. Pats cleared his throat. Does she know you're telling us? I have nothing to do with this, and I will stay that way. So they left the shop empty-handed. Reggie still did not have this month's edition of Vacuum Bubbles, which continued to be really irritating. But him and Pats decided together that they wouldn't go back into the shop until they were sure Firth was working and had something to report. Or not report. They hadn't decided on that yet. And there was the comic to consider. It was still a bit confused. But Millie was talking, not about the shop, but about everything else. And it was feeling normal and good. The tablet pinged again. Life continues. No way. Dad said I acted very mature. Mom says he's in a lot of trouble with me around. That sounds kind of positive. And I'm leaving room and boards early on Saturday. Why? I'm supposed to go to a dinner with friends. We're not your friends? LOL. Where is this dinner? Apparently, wherever life takes us. This was Millie Salmon and the Infinite Shop, Chapter 10, The Reveal Scene. In the next episode, we find some of the mintiest food in the universe. Thank you for listening. You can find more about Millie at milliesalmon.com or join us on Patreon. Please like, subscribe, and leave a review on whichever podcast app you use. Millie Salmon and the Infinite Shop is a production of Infinite Shop Limited, which you can follow on all social media platforms. I'm Ray Dubicki. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to reading some more for you soon.